told the church before of what Brother Glenn said, and that was that you believe with your heart unto salvation. Your mind, of course, is readily at all times to accept that which is not true. Error. I've told the church many times, I got saved at 27 years of age. And as far back as I can remember, I believed.
Amen.
With my mind, I believed that there was a God and that there was a Son of God that died. I was fortunate in the sense that my parents were Christians and taught me that.
Amen.
And as a young person, church was important to my family, and that meant I went. And so I heard the things that I'm saying today, and I believed. And I was alive. I lived for 27 years in a lost condition. When I received Christ as my Savior, I really began to live. He said, I came to give life and give it more abundantly. So when you become a Christian, I want you to know your life changes and it's for the better, for the good, and it's more of abundant life than it was in the past. That's a fact. So as I said, I have believed all my life. But I became a Christian at the age of 27. Then I began to live a life that was totally different. And to the visitors, I know they haven't heard me say this. The church has heard me several times, but I'm going to say it again. When I got saved and my wife's cousin heard about it, she said, well, if Fred Stewart can get saved, anybody can.
Amen.
I really made an impression on her. But you know, Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners, but I challenged him. Because I was about as sorry as they come. And God changed it. I had nothing to do with it. I attempted several times, and I failed every time to change my life. It just didn't work. But when God changed it, it worked. Well, I've said enough in that respect. I want to call your attention, if I might, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read just one verse, and that's the last verse of this chapter, chapter 58. Of all the writers of the New Testament, I believe the Apostle Paul is probably the greatest writer of all. Paul, as you know, was a person who persecuted the church of the living God. He was a great sinner. As he said, and as I mentioned a moment ago, He said, I was the chiefest of sinners. Now let me say this. That didn't come from lips of clay. That came from God through lips of clay.
Amen.
God inspired Paul to write that. That's the Word of God. It's inspiration that God, that Paul wrote, that he was the chiefest of sinners. So I'm going to say that he must have been. And the reason why is because he said, I persecuted the church of the living God. Now that's what made him the chiefest of sinners. Well, of a man of that stature, God used him in a special way. And as I said, Paul wrote probably the greatest writer, at least of the New Testament. This I know, that he wrote to the church. He wrote about the church, and he wrote within the church, their state that they were and what they were to do. In other words, Paul gave us the directions that God wants the church to go. All right, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, again today we come to Thee, and we come, Heavenly Father, as always with a thankful heart, thanking You for the Son that You gave, that through our faith in Him, of His shed blood, we can receive eternal life and have. We thank Thee, dear Jesus, for that sacrifice that You made. Heavenly Father, we pray today that as You look upon us in this congregation tonight, Father, that You might say, well, my will shall be done. And we know, Heavenly Father, that it shall, and may we accept that will today. Asking, O great God, today that You bless the Word that we've read. Father, it's Yours. We pray that You'll use it a way that it please Thee. Again, we pray for lips of clay that it might be able to praise the living God. Through the Word tonight, we ask in Jesus' name that You forgive us. We pray. Amen. As we look tonight at this particular Scripture, the Apostle Paul endeavors to encourage each and every born again child of God. Now you know, even though we're saved, we need encouragement. I think about my life in general as a Christian. And as I think about that, I think about the times that I was down. Yep. Did you ever get down?
Yep.
When you're down, that's when you really need encouragement.
Amen.
I was fortunate in that I had a person. My wife was the greatest person there was when it comes to encouraging Fred Stewart. The least little words that she would speak would bring encouragement to me.
Amen.
You see, because she was always concerned about me. Being concerned about an individual, you're going to do your best to help them.
Amen.
So when we get down, We look for encouragement. Now, as great as she was in encouraging me, I had someone else that was even greater. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And Paul here was encouraging every born-again Christian in a way in which God had inspired him to write to them. And the first thing he said was, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." You know what that says to me? Paul loved those people. Huh? He loved those people. Who? The brethren. Who is the brethren? He wasn't talking about family as we know it. He was talking about the born-again believers in the church of Corinth.
Amen.
And he loved them. Now I think about you people here. You love one another.
Amen.
Don't you tell people that? Don't you tell your brothers and sisters, "I love you"?
Amen.
Sure you do.
Amen.
You see, the reason that we do is we have everything in common.
Amen.
That's what they said in the book of Acts. They preached the word. Thousands joined or were saved and were baptized and became church members. And the scripture said, and they had everything in common. What's that saying? No division. Now, we know the Church of Corinth had some divisions. But we're talking about the manner in which they were presenting their lives. And they looked. Everything in common. Let me say this. They had the same nature as the next person. What are we talking about, nature? They were born again. Every born-again person gets the nature of God. You take on that nature. We're born of God. And as a result, my friend, we become a child of God and we get the nature of God. Now, let me tell you, I told you a moment ago, my life changed when I became a child of God. You know why? Because the inward nature, my friend, took over of the outward nature. They all had the same nature. Everything was the same. Now, listen to what he says. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he's speaking to the church of Corinth, "be ye steadfast." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's he saying? What does it mean to be steadfast? Let me tell you this. This world, my friend, is wishy-washy, if that's such a word or an expression. What do we mean, wishy-washy? Ups and downs. Whatever. He said to be steadfast. In other words, my friend, we are to be sound. And as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you need to know what you believe and be sound with it. I recall several years ago, I retired from Tinker, but in the early part of my employment out there, I volunteered for a special work duty, and it was on a Saturday. And there were others that did the same thing from different organizations, and we met there, and lunchtime we all sat down for lunch. And I brought up the Word of God, and we began to discuss as a group. I never will forget what this young lady said. Because I began to ask, where do you go to church at? She said, I go down yonder, told me where, and said, the reason why I go down there, said, the preacher, he don't preach any doctrine. This is doctrine. Wonder what he preached. Mary had a little lamb. That's all that's left. He don't preach any doctrine. I go there. I said, that's one place I wouldn't go. Be steadfast. Sound. Hard-headed. I've been told I was that before. But it wasn't on Scripture. You hear, well, you may not hear as much as you used to, but one of these expressions, they're set in their ways. You ever hear that? They're set in his ways. That main friend, he wasn't changing. He said it, and that's the way it was. Be sound. Steadfast. So, I believe Jude makes mention of what we call faith. And he says, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude 3. I think I may have used this last week, but that's all right. I'll use it again this week. It's the Word of God. I may use it again next week. So on and so forth. But earnestly contend. That simply means, my friend, to be steadfast. And we are to earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
Once delivered to the saints. But listen to what he said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable. That carries forth perseverance. Not moving. Sound. Steadfast. We find God's Word that teaches us or tells us, informs us, that we have an adversary, and he is the devil. And let me tell you this. Simply because we become children of God doesn't mean that the devil quits dealing with us. In fact, my friend, he deals with us more. You see, he didn't have to worry about you before.
Right.
He already had you.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to get you. But I believe, again, that in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God. I used this last week. Now, I'm not going to re-preach it. I could. But we're talking about, my friend, to be unmovable. Don't let things bother you to the degree that you depart and that you separate, that you give up. And that's what the devil, my friend, is trying to do to Christians today, to get us just a little bit. Let me tell you this, a little bit leads to a whole lot.
Amen.
I'm appalled today. Now, you younger people don't know about this. Brother Glenn does. He's almost as old as me. When you get old like me and him, you get old and ugly. But listen, I'm appalled today at what I see in the churches of the living God, wherein at one time in the past, it wouldn't have been heard of. They've separated themselves from the truth. Why do you belong to a Baptist church? You know why I belong to a Baptist church? Huh? Why do I belong? Why do you belong to a Baptist church? Now, you don't find anywhere in the Word, in the Word of God, where it tells us that you need to go belong to a Baptist church.
Yeah.
It don't mention Baptist church.
Yeah.
It mentions Church of Christ. mentions the Church of the Firstborn. Huh? Mentions the Christian church.
It
don't say a thing at all about the Baptist church. Now why do you belong to a Baptist church?
Yeah.
Why do I belong to a Baptist church? He never said it. Hey, Fred, go down there and join that Baptist church. But I go back again and bring it up, and then we'll speak a little bit on it. Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Now, what was the faith? Huh? It's not that I believed in the Christ. No. That's not the faith that Jude was talking about. He was talking about, my friend, the Word of God and what God has said to do and believe. And the first thing, my friend, is this. Eternal redemption. Huh? You can find any kind of way you want to find out here in this world today of how to be saved. Huh? You know that. Whatever you want to believe, good enough. Earnestly contend for the faith. Believe what God says is the plan of eternal salvation. And Romans 1 and 16 says, but that plan is through a man.
Amen.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Huh? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
The man Christ. So you see, the gospel, the eternal redemption of man, my friend, is through a man. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
One time, Jesus was going into a city. And all the city was moved. And this was the question that they asked. Who is this? Who is it? And some said, well, that's Jesus of Nazareth. He came from Nazareth. Well, he did. But he came from God. Who is it? Is Jesus by name? He's the Son of God by birth. And what did he do? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of unto what?
Salvation.
Salvation. So earnestly contend for the faith. Believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the means of salvation.
Amen.
Now the world don't believe that. Oh, let me say this. They may believe it. Yeah, Brother Tim, it's all mind. But remember this. You believed it, okay. So did I. But remember this. God doeth everything, as I said this morning, or read this morning. And nothing, now listen, nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. So when we look at this plan that God put for man, we find that men insert and they take away. Huh? Oh yeah, let me tell you what. I was raised. I know what I'm talking about. I was raised wherein you could believe in Jesus. But that's just part of your salvation. You had to work for the rest of it. What do you believe? Paul said, be unmovable. Be steadfast. Well, not only, time is going to run out, but that's all right. I don't go to bed at about 12. But listen, listen, we talked about the gospel, that the faith, but not only that, huh? What about the manner in which we are to live as Christians? I told you what my cousin thought about me before I was saved. She didn't have much to say about me after I was saved. But the Bible says to present ourselves a living sacrifice. As Christians. I know that the reason that I had was good, or it told me to be good, morally. But let me tell you, The best life that I lived before I became saved wasn't good enough.
Amen.
For all my friend of our rags or our works are filthy rags.
Amen.
It don't please God.
Amen.
You might think it does, but it don't please God. It may please you.
Amen.
So Paul said, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to ask you a question. How many has a Bible? A lot of hands going up. How many homes has a Bible? Many, many homes. In fact, just about any home you walk into, somewhere there may be a Bible laid around. You go to the hotel and you find a Bible. It's called Gideon's. Well, my question is this. How many reads the Bible? How many studies the Bible? Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know an easy way to become ashamed? When somebody asks you something that you ought to know and you don't. Earnestly contend for the faith. We find today that the world in general is a world that's wishy-washy. I've said many times before, we pass a law. It's not efficient. So we'll take and pass another law to protect that law. And on and on and on. Labor. Paul said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Huh? Now there's a motive behind that. What is it? Our work is not in vain. That's the motive behind working for the Lord. We cannot work enough. We cannot tell about Jesus enough. I wonder today about our children. What about them?
Amen.
As parents today, grandparents, do we tell our children about Jesus? I want to say this, and I want to say it without boasting, because that's not my intent. I have 6 children. And my 6 children were all raised in a church atmosphere, a Christian atmosphere. Brother Glenn knows this. My 6 children are all saved. because I always took them to church. And at home, I'd always tell them about Jesus. And the wife and I attempted to live a good Christian life that they might see it. Whether you know this or not, whether you want to accept it or not, is immaterial. But I'm going to tell you, children do exactly what we do. And they talk like we talk. Today, I'm appalled again at the language that I hear from young people. Now, where did they get it? I'm not going to say all of them got it from parents. They probably got it from friends, but where do friends get it? What am I saying? I'm talking about working is not in vain. You can be successful working for the Lord. My six children have all been born again. I'm a Christian, and I believe that I'm a Christian because of the influence that my mom and dad had on me. I can remember as a young teenager, I don't know why I done it. This is a little silly, but my nose stopped up. You ever have your nose stop up? Well, I couldn't hardly breathe because my nose stopped up. So I go outside and I start running around the house. I don't know why I thought that might help. But nevertheless, I run around the house. My mom, she walked out on the porch and said, "Freddie Don." By the way, my name's Freddie Don. "Freddie Don, what are you doing?" "Mom, my nose has stopped up. And I'm running to see if it won't open up." She said, "What's wrong with you? The Lord's dealing with you." Well, let me tell you what, that got my attention. Huh? That got my attention. Simple word like that. My father, I wasn't saved when my dad died. My dad died in 52. And before he passed away, he went into a coma. He was in a hospital in Shawnee. I worked at the city, and I drove down one Friday evening. Naturally, I stopped at the hospital to go in to see my dad, and my mother and my sister from North Carolina was there taking care of Dad the best they could. But they hadn't eaten, and they said, "Freddie Don, we're going to go eat something. What's your dad?" Okay, that's what I came for. So I walked into that room. My dad had not said anything, had not done anything for over a week. He was in a coma. But when I walked into that room, this is what I heard from my dad's lips. "Which house is mine? The house of David's?" Amen. Now, if you don't think that went through me, that really got my attention. I've never forgot that. That will stay with me all the days of my life. What house is mine? The house of David's. From out of lips that hadn't been spoken, my friend, in over a week. But you see, God used that dying man to reach the sinner. Yeah. Yeah. Your work is not in vain.
Amen.
It's effective. The least it might be in our own imagination, God can use it. God can use it.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you, that is a motivator. To know that the least we can do, God can use it.
Amen.
And you know the least, my friend, might be the best that we can do. Huh? God gives talents to different people, different talents. I've tried to find one that I had. I've been looking for 92 years almost, still ain't found it. But I'm sure God's got a talent that I've got somewhere. And wherever it is, when it's used, God uses it.
Amen.
Last but not least, the Word of God ensures progress, victory. Yes, the Word of God does. Tells us that we will be successful as a Christian if we abide according to His Word. When He wrote this, my friend, He wrote it as a perfect thing.
Amen.
And it is. No flaw in this Bible unless I put it there.
Right.
Or unless man does some way, somehow. Misinterprets. Our own opinion on it. As I said, last but not least, God ensures us through His Word that our work in Him and for Him is effective. Is effective. I told you that story time and time again about this woman that I hated before I saved. Her name was Ellen Seiler. She's gone, has been for several years. But I'm going to tell you, that woman was the most hated woman in my eyes that I could ever remember. And you know, she never done anything to me. Other than sit down and go to talking about the Lord. I got it where I knew just about what day she's going to show. I mean, she showed every week. And I'd watch through that window right there where she'd have to come down through there. And I got where whenever she start coming down through there, I'd get up and go out the back door. Yeah, I knew what that woman's going to do. She bothered me. The little things, my friend, that she would say, even driving down to my house, affected me.
Amen.
I know what she's going to do. She's going to talk about Jesus. Now, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So I'd get up and I'd run out that back door, and I couldn't wait till she'd leave. And I'd go in and my wife would say, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself." But I wasn't. No. Let me tell you. I became a child of God. And when I did, that woman became the greatest Baptist woman that I have ever met.
Amen. That's right.
Greatest friend.
Amen.
Brother Glenn, I would go to their house every night. I was young. They were old. I could stay up all night and still go to work. They had to go to bed. But I'd go over there every night and I'd sit there till 2 o'clock in the morning talking about Jesus.
Really?
Yeah.
Praise your name, Lord.
They finally got where they'd say, "Brother Fred, we need to go to bed." Okay. And I'd sit there another hour. "Brother Fred, we got to work tomorrow." Okay. That's fine with me. But you see, what I'm saying is this, that the effect of God's Word, as small as it might be, my friend, it's fruitful. So as a Christian, don't fail to say the little things and don't worry about the big things. The little one will grow big. I don't know the hearts of those that's here tonight. My prayer is that everyone's saved, but if you're not, we want you to know the opportunity to be is here tonight. God is here. And He's calling you tonight. Let me tell you, if you're here, I know exactly what you're going through if you're lost. I want to go. But what about my friends? I want to go. But what about these people? What do they think? I want to go, but I just don't have the power to get up and go down there because of I feel that somebody will make fun of me. Let me tell you, I went through that. Yeah, I went through that. Several years ago, I visited a man that was in our congregation. I went back and talked to him. His name was Bill. During the invitation, I said, Bill, don't you want to go get saved? He said, yeah, but Fred, I've got something I got to do first. Huh? Don't be that away. Nothing is more important than receiving Christ as your Savior. So I'm going to ask the song leader and the pianist to come. If you're here, if you're lost tonight, my friend, listen to me. I've tried my best in my weak way to tell you that Jesus saves. And He'll save you if you're lost. May God help each and every one of us to do the will of God. I don't know God's will. I do know this, that He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Amen. While we stand, while we sing, may God help you this evening. Ask yourself this, am I saved? Am I a child of God? If not, ask yourself, why am I not a child of God? God gave His Son for me. Would you come? I don't know your heart, but if God is dealing with you, just come down and take me by your hand and say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I want God to save me. And God will. God will, my friend. Oh, yeah. Would you come? Would you come? If you're here and if you're lost, would you come? If God's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Anyone tonight, for any reason tonight, would you come? All your sins will be washed away.